going to look like a genius.
The right sausage roll is better than the Greg sausage roll.
I had pie, chips, gravy and mushy peas for a fiver. Hello and welcome to this seventh episode now of EFL at URN. I'm one of your co-hosts, Harry Waring, and I'm joined by our other delightful co-host, Luke Green. How are you today?
I'm good, thanks. I think it was a great midweek of football after the Saturday games got cancelled.
Yeah, there's a lot of excitement. I think you're more excited than I was. A lot of actions covered. So we're going to start this show as we usually do, and we'll go through League Two. We'll do quick fire predictions as well. I believe it's my turn this week. Luke scored an outstanding 21 points on Tuesday and Wednesday. He did send me the wrong predictions for League Two, but I did let him off with that. And then we're also going to do a little quick segment on best pie around the grounds that we've had together. So if we start in League Two, and the first game we'll go to, which is Swindon versus Sutton. Swindon won this game 3-2. Goals from Shade, Williams and Wakeling. And the Sutton goals coming from Randall Horan. Swindon are currently sat 11th now, and Sutton 12th. So a bit of a sort of top end mid-table scrap. How do you think this game went for both teams?
Yeah, I think Swindon on the whole dominated this game. Well, especially possession wise and XG wise. But Sutton were not easy to beat as well, because I think Sutton are probably going to do similar to how they did last year, which is really good, because I think they came top 10 last year, and I won't be surprised if they did that again, because looking at this team, they do look really hard to beat. What do you think about Sutton?
Yeah, well, when you, a lot of EFL fans outside of League Two, when you say the word Sutton United to them, they don't really think of a good, strong League Two team. They probably think of a non-League team that's had an absolute shocker and managed to get themselves up into the League Two. But yeah, as you said, I think they've got a great squad for this league. And I think sitting around 12th where they currently are, I wouldn't be surprised if they finished there, to be honest. I think Swindon, they're a team on the way up, had a bit of a slow start. They're a team that's, been around the playoffs in the last few years, and obviously a team that you could maybe classify as sort of a yo-yo team at this league, as they find themselves in League One. But yeah, as you said, a strong team.
Yeah, so it was obviously 3-2 Swindon in the end, with goals from Shade, Williams and Wakeling for Swindon, and Randall scored a brace for Sutton. Randall's brace in vain in the end. I think Will Randall started this season relatively well for Sutton. He's averaging probably like a 7 out of 10 his last few games anyway. He's definitely been somewhat of a good signing for them. Well, not this season, obviously, but in 2019. So he's been there for quite a while, and he's done quite well. I think a brace from him is probably a bit surprising for Sutton fans, because he doesn't really do much for most games he does. But yeah, I think that's definitely a positive for Sutton to take away from the game.
Yes, definitely. Having a winger able to get two goals is brilliant. Keeping on goals, Wakeling managed to get himself another goal. He's now Swindon's top goal scorer with 3, which is, it's great. Looking at the Swindon team then, do you think the slow start to the season was just a little bump in the road for what could be a successful year? Or do you think they might be a bit like Sutton and hold round in this position?
Like I've said quite a few times, they're gonna do quite well this season. I think, I don't think they'll hit the heights as last season, but judging by the trend that they're going on, I think they're unbeaten in 5 league games now, winning 2, drawing 3. So they definitely have an upward momentum at the moment. And yeah, looking at the squad, they've got some great players. Well, like Johnny Williams who will be in Qatar at the end of this year. So yeah, especially Jeffcott as well is pretty good too. He's Welsh. I don't know if he's going to be able to get into the Welsh team. Probably not. But yeah, they've got a few good players, and they should really be aiming for around the playoffs.
Yeah, definitely. They're a team that's, at the end of the season, they're always at the business end, either in the playoffs or fighting for the automatic spots. If we keep on the theme of, well, sorry, if we keep on the player of Luke Jeffcott, were you surprised that they managed to bring a player of his quality in? Because he's a player that's sort of proven himself in League One, definitely proven in League Two, but sort of, at Plymouth, he did quite well.
Yeah, I didn't expect him to go down to League Two. I thought maybe a loan out to a lower League One team might be the best thing for him, because he's done quite well at Plymouth. He scored near enough 40 goals in 120 appearances. So that's like one in three games he's scoring a goal. So he's not done badly. So again, a bit surprised. I know Plymouth are trying to get automatic promotion this year, or at least promotion. So he might not be good enough for that, but I think as a, he's definitely a really good League One player. So I was really surprised when I saw him go to Swindon.
Yeah, there's been a few shock signings in League Two this year. So if we then move on then to another game, just so you're aware, all of the games that we are covering today, there has been a post released on the Instagram, EFL at URM, if you want to check that out. Please check that out. Please give us a follow. But the next game we'll look at then is a top of the table sort of clash, and that is Barrow versus Doncaster. Barrow won this game 2 goals from This is by 2 goals, sorry, from goals coming from Whitfield and Warren. Barrow are now third, and Doncaster slipped down to seventh. Barrow are a team that have sort of surprised me this year. I know they weren't in my predictions to come near the top, but they've looked really strong picking up 18 points. What do you think the main reason is for this?
I think, again, I think they're one of the teams of a great unity. I think they were obviously one of the favourites to finish, especially in that relegation battle. But they really kicked on this season. And again, the signing of Whitfield has been absolutely immense for them. Stockport must have one hell of a squad if they're letting Whitfield go to Barrow, because he's just been insane. I think he's been involved in 60% of Barrow's goals this season. And yeah, he scored another one at the weekend. So he's been a real find for them, and probably a massive loss for Stockport, I think. And I think Stockport definitely could have done with him at the moment.
Yeah, Ben Whitfield obviously up for Player of the Month. He didn't win it. It went to Sam Hoskins, but he's got 3 goals and 5 assists now in 8 games, and it's just those sort of numbers. If you can keep that up throughout the season, you're talking he's going to be in the 30s, 40s for goal contributions, which is just crazy for any player. On the other hand, then if you're looking at Doncaster, a team that sort of had a, I would say, a mixed start. They haven't really, shown the form to get themselves in the top three, but then again, nobody really thought they would be at the bottom. So, would you say this average start is how I would describe it? Do you agree or?
I think they're doing pretty well until obviously the last two games where they've lost two on the bounce. They obviously were unbeaten at home until the last game, not this game, the game before. So I think just these back-to-back losses have really dealt them a blow. I mean, they're still seventh, so they're still in playoff contention. So I'd say that they've had a decent start to the season, just not the start probably they're hoping for, because I think they want to be up near Barrow in the league, not 4 points adrift from them.
Yes, indeed, they do.
Barrow could be the place to go, really, for an away. Well, if we want to do the trek, because Barrow at the moment, their home stadium must be absolutely rocking.
Yeah, that we've got a few, try and plan a few away days in the future and really sort of give you a behind the scenes look, I guess,
Yeah.
away day layout.
Do you want to guess what the stadium's called? Because I didn't know what it was called.
Oh, no, just tell us. Put us out the misery.
Furness Building Society Stadium. Probably one of the most boring stadium names I've ever heard.
Quite long as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not ideal.
No.
We'll leave that game there then, and we'll do one final game in League Two. And this was a top of the table versus bottom of the table clash, and that is between Leyton Orient and Rochdale. Leyton Orient won this game 1-0. Rochdale still looking for that first game of the season. However, they have appointed themselves a new manager, and it's Jim Bentley. To be honest with you, I haven't heard of him before. Have you got any information on him or?
Who's this? This Rochdale manager,
Yeah, Jim Bentley.
the new one. I think he's flirted with non-league before, and I think he was the Roch the Morecambe manager before Derek Adams. Might be, yeah, Derek Adams, the Morecambe manager before Derek Adams, and he got them from the National League to basically a mid-table team in League Two. So he has got a good track record, really. Especially with Morecambe. So it's not a bad appointment for Rochdale. And he's still quite a young manager. So there's still a bit of a ceiling for him to breach through. So, yeah, some positive signs for them, I think.
Yeah. Well, in this game, we saw Leyton Orient obviously win George Munker, and they're keeping that unbelievable form that they found themselves in now with 22 points from the first eight. And they're already 3 points clear at the top of the table. But in this game, Rochdale and Joe Quigley missed a penalty in the 95th minute, which would have seen them gain a crucial point for them at the moment, try and close the gap between them and just outside the relegation zone. Do you think it'll be moments like this that they may look at the end of the season?
Yeah, I don't know. I think Vigouroux, I think he might have been a bit bored in that match, so that he decided to give a penalty away and then save it. But yeah, Rochdale, they look a bit improved, and I think obviously the Roux that penalty miss, but they do look improved because Rochdale probably like 5 games ago probably would have shipped 4 or 5 goals against this Leyton Orient team. But if you look on XG and stuff like that, they probably should have won it. Or at least drawn. I know most of the XG is probably from that penalty, but yeah, I think Rochdale look more improved, and there are some positives to take from this game, if not any points.
Yeah, definitely. You always see a first game bounce as well, which is important to note when a new manager comes in. But I'll be interested to see how well he can do with this group of players because obviously it's not a. We're not talking about a team that's got players that are non-league standard. These players were in the champ, sorry, League One last year, so it'll be interesting to see what his ideas can bring to the table and whether or not he can get them to push up the league.
I'll run us through the rest of the results in League Two on Tuesday night. So obviously, FC Wimbledon nil, Northampton Town 2, Barrow 2, Doncaster nil, Crawley Town 3, Stockport County 2. Big win for Crawley. Grimsby Town 1, Gillingham 1, Harrogate Town nil, Salford 1 in the last minute. Hartlepool United 1, Crewe Alexander 1. Mansfield Town nil, Carlisle nil, Rochdale nil, Leyton Orient 1, Steve Evenage 1, Newport nil, Swindon Town 3, Sutton United 2, Tranmere 1, Bradford City 2, Walsall 1 and Colchester United 1.
Okay, right. I do believe it is my turn this week.
Yeah, it's prediction time.
Yes. You got 21. I'm finding myself in a little bit of trouble here because obviously, first time I got 18 points.
Yeah,
So it's
I think you
not.
need like 27 points to draw with me.
Yeah, you're on
Something
45 and
like
I'm on 18. So I do need a big week, a big weekend for me to get this right.
that. Yeah, let's hope not. So, are you ready?
Yes, I am ready.
Okay, Bradford Stevenage,
2-1 Stevenage.
Carlisle Wimbledon.
1-0 Carlisle.
Colchester United, Grimsby Town.
2-0 Grimsby.
Crewe Alexandra, Crawley Town.
2-1 Crewe.
Doncaster Swindon.
I'm gonna go 1-1.
Gillingham Mansfield.
Ooh, I'm gonna go 3-1 Gillingham.
Leyton Orient, Walsall.
4-0 Leyton Orient.
Newport County, Barrow.
I will go 1-0.
Northampton Town, Rochdale.
Northampton 2-0.
Salford, Tranmere.
1-0 Salford.
Stockport County, Harrogate Town.
2-1 Stockport.
And Sutton United, Hartlepool.
2-0 Sutton.
Right, so that wraps it up. I'm quite impressed, well, not impressed, but shocked that you predicted Gillingham to score three.
I know, well, you never know. I've thought I'll just throw in one where I'm a bit brave, see what happens. I know it's probably not going to happen. I'm going to get that -3 points, but if it does, I'm going to look like a genius. So, yeah.
Yeah, seeing as I only scored two goals this
Yeah,
season.
no. I know, I know. I'm fully aware. I've thrown that
Yeah.
curveball out
Okay.
there. Right.
Well, let's hope you
Let's.
don't get that anyway.
Yeah, well, if I do, mate, it's going to be unreal. Let's move on then now to League One. We'll just run through two games very quickly, and that will be we'll start with Cheltenham versus Cambridge. This game went the way of Cheltenham, actually, 2-1. The strong form of Cambridge. Cambridge obviously sat sixth. They were originally fifth before this game. Shocking the league, you know, because nobody really predicted them to be there, but they've, you know, they sort of showed the form that they were there to stay. Whilst Cheltenham were in the relegation zone before this game, and now they found themselves 19th, picking up a very crucial 3 points to see themselves with a 1 point wedge just above the relegation zone. Like I've already said, you know, this is sort of a, if you're running off how good teams have started this year, this is sort of a shock result, and Cheltenham, you know, sort of surprising the rest of the league.
Well, yeah, I think Cambridge have obviously, they've done all right. This well, more than all right. They've done really well at the start of the season, and nobody really expected it. Obviously, unbeaten in three, I think, before this game, beating Charlton, well, drawing against Charlton, beating Burton, and beating Lincoln. Whereas Cheltenham, they've started to show a little bit of promise. In the last five games, we've won two, drawn two, lost one. So there's a bit of positivity brewing in Cheltenham at the moment. At the start of the season, I think every single supporter might have thought they were a bit doomed, but no, I think Cheltenham are on an upward trajectory. Whereas Cambridge, I don't know, this might probably would have been an off day for them, but I wasn't really impressed with them.
Yeah, we know Cambridge were 1-0 up at half time, and Cheltenham come back to score two, a goal from substitute Alfie May in the 83rd minute to, you know, secure the 3 points. How do you say it? Ndlondulu of Cheltenham Town, their striker on loan from Southampton. Obviously, they had him, if I'm correct in saying, the back half, just signed him in January last season on loan, and they've continued it this year. He's proven to be quite a handful, would you agree? I've seen a few clips of him now. Very good running the ball and very fast. Do you think he's a player that's on his way up, or is he just a player that's going to end up being a League One player?
No, I think he definitely is. A player on the up because he's done pretty well for Cheltenham. Even when they were losing games at the start of the season, he sprung up with a couple of goals. So he could be one of the talismans this season because he has been doing quite well in a really poor Cheltenham team.
Yeah, and it's also important to note Alfie May's strike that won it for him in the 84th minute. He becomes Cheltenham's all-time record EFL goal scorer now, with 40 goals. So it's not a lot of goals, but
No, I was thinking that, yeah.
it's still a good landmark for him, though, personally. But 40 seems, well, yeah, I don't know. But I'm comparing it to bigger teams of records I've got in my head. So
Yeah.
yeah, but anyway, well done to him and. As I said, good personal landmark and one you should be proud of. Cambridge face Barnsley on Saturday. This again could be, you know, it's quite a challenging match, obviously a team relegated from last year. Do you think this would just be a little bump and they're going to pick up again on, at home to Barnsley?
I mean, it's hard to tell really because we never expected them to be this high this early in the season. But yeah, they've looked solid, and I don't know. This could be sort of like the downfall of them. But I wouldn't be surprised if they kept going at this rate. Of course, Barnsley's had not their best start to the season as well. So it could be an interesting game, really.
Indeed, it should. Thank you for giving me some advice before quick fire round. If we then move on quickly to another game, because we're going to focus
Oh,
on.
can I just
Oh,
t say something?
yeah, get in there, mate.
So we're going on to strikers now, and Cambridge United. Faye Okudibiri is finally back after over a year out with a. I forgot what it was now, but he's been out for over a year with an Achilles tendon rupture. So basically, Doncaster bought him as their prime goal scorer, and then he got injured for a year. Over, I think he's been out for over 400 days, so over a year. So Doncaster could have really done with him last season, and he's obviously a proven goal scorer as well. So again, if he gets match fit really quickly, he could be another asset to this Cambridge side, which makes me believe that they could stay up there because I have a lot of love for him, and I was really a bit upset when I found out he was out for over a year. Similar to Danny Doe, really, because he just got a finishing ability that other people don't have, and he's coming into the prime or near the prime of his career now, and I think he could be a really good asset for Cambridge.
Yeah, I totally agree. He's been a great player. Obviously, you love him because he was at Shrewsbury Town. But he was a great player, and he was, I think it was sort of unlucky for him that he got injured for a year. Well, obviously unlucky for him, but also very unlucky for Doncaster because they sort of needed him last year, and they were sort of probably counting on him to get the goals when they first signed him. But yeah, getting injured. Let's just hope he's still got that magic touch, as you say, and he can really push on. Let's move on to another game quickly because we're just kind of the main focus of this League One segment will be Shrewsbury Town and MK Dons. But we'll quickly stop off at Peterborough United versus Fleetwood. This was what has turned out to be a mid-table game as Peterborough have fallen out of the playoff zone after they lost to Fleetwood Town 1-0. Fleetwood managed to hold Clark Harris and Marriott back and see themselves climb up to 12th. This is a sort of a scoreline which shocked me. Would you agree, Luke? Because Peterborough, they are a big team in this league, and Fleetwood are a team that again we haven't predicted to come in the playoffs, but also a bit like Cheltenham, showing what they can do at this level.
Yeah, I think it was a bit of a surprise because obviously Peterborough would be like the all-out favourites in this because they've can score goals and have won numerous games this season. However, they've lost their last five games in all competitions Peterborough have, which I didn't really expect before this Fleetwood game. But yeah, Fleetwood finally turning all their draws into a win. I think they lost against Port Vale, beat Plymouth, and then have drawn five in a row, which is very odd. And it also proves that they're really hard to beat too, and you shouldn't really take them for granted. And I think probably a really perfect time to play Peterborough, seeing as they were in a bit of a slump. But yeah, I was very surprised, and I didn't expect Fleetwood to come away with this game with anything really.
Yeah, no, completely the same. Not really much more to add, I believe. So we'll leave that one there. Other than the fact, obviously, Peterborough, Clark Harris and Marriott have 9 goals between them already this season, and it's only been 8 games. So watch out, I would guess, I would say. But Fleetwood have shown that they can be stopped. Let's move on because we want to spend quite a big chunk of this League One section talking about Shrewsbury and MK Dons, two teams which we haven't really dived into too deeply. I think we'll start with Shrewsbury because I know you're excited. Sat eighth in the team, sorry, eighth in the league, 12 points. We said in our predictions episode that we thought Steve Cotchell was building a team, not for this year, but for next year. And winning 3-2 over Exeter at on was it sorry on Tuesday night, really showing that you're not you're going for it, I guess.
Yeah, I think in this game we had to go for it because we were 2-0 down within 20 minutes, which I didn't expect. I don't really expect us to ship two goals against this Exeter City team. But yeah, Sweeney, I think he was left alone at the near the back post in the penalty area and smashed it in. And then Grounds' goal was a deflected effort from 35 yards. Very unlucky. But then, yeah, the comeback came on. Pennington scoring less than 60 seconds after Grounds did, and Bayliss 10 minutes after, and then Dunkley in the 93rd minute. Really shows like the fighting spirit of the Shrewsbury Town side. And I am getting very excited because we dominated that second half against a really good Exeter City team. Exeter have done amazingly so far this season. They definitely, I think their wing backs definitely did put us have us on toast a few times in this game. But yeah, only positive things to say about this game from a Shrewsbury point of view, mainly because we saw, well, none of the goals were from open play. They're all from set pieces, but that's what this Shrewsbury team are based on, really. I think we're not that creative, but we've got George Nurse's long throw, which is a sight to behold. So yeah, it's just been a good 2 weeks for Shrewsbury. We've gone from 20th to 8th in two games, and our fixtures for the next four games, we've probably got the next easiest four games. Four-game fixtures to go, really. I think we face Port Vale away. I know I'm going to that one, so there will be a away days on that, I would have thought. And then we've got Port Vale again in a cup piece of trophy. But then we've got Burton, Cheltenham, and then Milton Keynes. All four of them teams are probably going to be in a relegation battle this season. So I'd expect us to be around this position over the next four games because, yeah, they're winnable games. And I think this is the first time we've been this high up since August 2019. So I don't really know how to describe it, really, because I haven't witnessed it in a long time.
Yes, it's a weird feeling. One thing I would say that ask you though is your three top goal scorers are Che Dunkley, Pennington, and Leahy. Not a striker. Do you think, you've signed Street, was it from Crystal Palace on deadline day? He started up top against Exeter. Do you think you might not be seeing as many goals from the strikers this year, and it might be more of a midfield taking the sort of star role for the goals?
Yeah, I think obviously our defenders are as good as going forward as they are defending their own box, really, because Dunkley, I think he's hit double figures in League One before in a season, maybe with Oxford, so he could be one to look out for. Matthew Pennington, obviously a Rolls Royce at this level, but yeah, we don't really have. Don't know. It's hard to judge, really, because obviously Danny Doe is out for the rest of the season, most likely, and he would have been our star man who you'd lump 15 goals a season on. But we have brought in Christian, is it Christian Sadie from Bournemouth? And he just looks out of this world. I mean, he hasn't scored yet, but his link-up play's been pretty good, and his overall strength is insane. He's a monster. So I won't be surprised if he gets a few goals this season. Bowman, you can always rely on him for a goal or two. I don't think he has the quality to be a League One attacker at the moment, to be honest with you. I'm not too worried about strikers scoring because I think the rest of our team will pitch in.
Yeah, definitely. It's good to see goals from all over the park, I guess. And it's sort of a modern football idea, I guess, where it's not just the strikers banging in the goals. And as you said, Che Dunkley, he has reached double figures before. Very good player at this league, obviously playing for a wide range of teams. So it'd be interesting to see how many goals he can actually get at the end of this year. Yeah, I think we'll leave Shrewsbury there then and move on to my MK Dons. Yeah, let's just take a pause. Right. So MK Dons played Bolton Wanderers on Tuesday night. This is a game that was away days on the EFL at Your End channel, and I gave a sort of behind the scenes look into what it's like to be an MK Dons fan in the home end. Obviously, it wasn't very exciting, real, because the Dons lost 2-0. I thought we saw a Bolton team who cruised to victory in second gear. They didn't do anything outstanding. And I think that sort of shows how much of a disappointment and how poor a performance we saw from Milton Keynes Dons. Bolton this now season climbed the table into fifth, and Dons drop to a depressing 22nd. I think the biggest problem for me now with Dons is the midfield. I've had some time to gather my thoughts. I've been a bit emotional on other podcasts, and my opinion keeps changing, but I'm trying to stay calm here and reflect on this. I think the biggest problem is the midfield. Dons set up with a five, sort of a 5-3-2 formation. However, the midfield three, it was supposed to be playing two sort of not holding centre mids, but sort of two centre mids with a cam just sat in front. However, we saw three cams playing in this game. Not getting back in defence, and that was sort of really hurt us because Bolton would either play a ball through or on the air, in the air or on the floor, and our defence would do very well, manage with it. But say they went to header it, you would then have the Bolton midfielders getting there before ours, and that is what sort of hurt us most in this sort of game. Midfield, the first goal was a penalty conceded by Dawson Devoy. He's only 19 coming over from Ireland, and you could really see that in this sort of lack of experience in this first goal. He slid in, and the player faked to take a shot and put his self body between him and the ball, and obviously he was going to go down. Dion Charles scored a great penalty, which I managed to see because it was at my end, which is not ideal. But yeah, anyway, you've already mentioned you think Dons are going to be in a relegation battle, and if things stay the way they are, I will agree with you because it has been poor. It's if you take what happened last year and compare it to this year, it's nowhere the same because last year, finishing third, a pointer off the playoffs. So
So obviously there's lots of problems going on at Milton Keynes at the moment, but one of the most, well, the biggest problem really is a lack of creating. I think you don't really create massive chances in games, and you don't really take many either. So what do you think the problem is there?
again, I've said the defence point of view in that game against Bolton was midfield. I think you sort of make an argument for this. However, I think Will Grigg's a great striker, but the way he plays, for some reason, we're trying to play a long ball to him so he heads it on and flicks it on, but he's not five. Say he's 5'4". He's not 5'4". He's about 5'9". He's not going to win an aerial ball against 2 6'3" plus centre backs, is he? And another thing is he keeps changing the formation. So against Bolton on Tuesday, he played as I've said, a 5-3-2. Grigg and Dennis up front. I thought Dennis has had a great start to say we've plucked him out of League Two. Sorry, not League Two, non-league. But in prior games, we've been playing a five, sort of a 5-2-3, which I thought worked really well, and that's what brought us our, success at Watford on the road, and then also the 4-0 win over Morecambe. So you could say changing it around, the players don't really know what they're doing. But one final point is they've signed a guy called Josh Coyote from Rotherham. I don't know if you've seen his stats, but he scored two goals last year, and that was in about nearly 30 games. So he's great physically, he's great. He's great touching the ball, but I'm not looking at him to be able to score us 20 goals. I'm looking at him to maybe I'll be proud if he scores one, if I'm being brutally honest. But I'm hoping he'll prove me wrong. But yeah, so I think we'll leave that there. I will be producing another away days on URN account. Luke's already mentioned he's going to Port Vale at the weekend, and the following weekend, I will be going to Lincoln City. So keep an eye out for them. We'll try and create a bit of behind the scenes content for you so you can see what it's like. Luke, do you want to take us through the rest of League One?
Yeah, I will. So obviously, these were Tuesday night games. There were no Wednesday night games this week. So Barnsley 1, Port Vale 1, Burton 0, Portsmouth 2. Haven't really touched on Burton. First time for anything. Charlton 1, Forest Green 1, Cheltenham 2, Cambridge 1, Ipswich 2, Bristol Rovers 0. This result has just made my day, really. Two red cards for Bristol, and they now sit in a relegation battle. Lincoln City 2, Derby County 0, MK Dons 0, Bolton Wanderers 2, Morecambe 0, Sheffield Wednesday 3, Peterborough United 0, Fleetwood Town 1, Plymouth Argyle 1, Oxford 0, Shrewsbury Town 3, Exeter City 2, Wycombe Wanderers 1, Accrington Stanley 0. I just wanted to ask you a question. This bottom six, seven at the moment in League One, do you think it's going to change much over the season?
I think Burton, Morecambe, Cheltenham, maybe Forest Green. I think that they're strong contenders to stay there. I would like to think MK Dons will, sort themselves out and pick up maybe, but I will. Yeah, no, to be honest with you, I do agree. The only team I'm disagreeing is MK Dons because obviously I've got a soft spot for him, but
Yeah.
I think maybe you could see Port Vale drop in or even Lincoln to a certain degree. You can maybe see them drop down. But apart from that, yeah, it's very much you're starting to see big teams at the top and little teams at the bottom. One game which we didn't actually mention talking about Lincoln there is their 2-0 win over Derby. That's a massive result for them. Obviously, season climbs to 16th. But Derby is currently sat 13th. They're a team which me and you sort of. I was looking at it from more of the outset of what happened to Ipswich when they signed 17 players and Derby obviously signing not probably was it 12 or 13 players who haven't really played in this league.
Yeah.
Is that what you think is happening there or is it just.
Yeah. Obviously, there's no prior connections between players and stuff because it's basically a completely new team. And again, I don't think the manager is really up for it because I don't, he's not really well experienced as well. He took over because Rooney left, so he doesn't really have much of a CV. And I think that could be another problem for them.
Yeah, definitely. I think we'll just keep a little eye on them, but yeah, I think that's going to be around their position. Right. Quick fire time then, I guess.
Oh yeah, let's get on to round 10. Round 10. Oh
Yeah.
my God. It's gone quickly.
Yes, I'm enjoying
It's
it.
gone very quickly. Gone very quickly. Okay, so Saturday, 17th September. Start with Accrington Stanley, Cheltenham Town.
2-1 Cheltenham.
Alton, Peterborough.
Oh, 2-2.
Bristol Rovers, Lincoln.
I'm gonna go 1-1.
Cambridge United, Barnsley.
This is a tough one, actually. I'm gonna go 2-1 Cambridge.
Derby Wickham.
I'm gonna go 2-0 Wickham. They've really picked up.
Exeter Burton.
You know what? I'm going to go 1-0 Burton because I think it's about time they won a game.
Fleetwood Charlton.
3-1 Charlton.
Forest Green, Morecambe.
2-1 Morecambe.
Oxford MK,
1-0 MK Dons.
Port Vale Shrewsbury.
I'll give you this one. I think it's going to be a 3-1 Shrewsbury.
Portsmouth Plymouth.
2-1 Portsmouth.
Sheffield Wednesday Ipswich Town.
3-2 Ipswich. That's two very massive games
Yeah.
there.
All of the top four are playing each other.
Yeah, that's you see some chopping and changing. Then if Bolton could pick up a few points, they might see themselves move up into that top four. But yes, that's quite a lot of excitement. We might have quite a fun things to talk about next week.
Yeah, big weekend of football.
I think we're just going to take a slight pause now. And I'm going to come towards you, Luke, and I'm going to ask you this question. Where, of all the grounds you've ever been to, where is the best pie you've eaten?
Well, obviously I'm a Staffordshire boy, so I'm extremely biased because these pies are on our high streets across Staffordshire, and I believe they are the best.
Okay.
So yeah, Stoke City, Bet365 Arena. They do a very nice pie, and it's called Wright's Pies. They're magnificent. Best pies ever. Wright's better than Greg's. That's just the end of it. I think, yeah, there's no really argument with this, because factually, Wright's pies are the best, and the Wright's sausage roll is better than the Greg's sausage roll, and hands down, and bigger.
That's a massive statement you've just made there.
If you come to Staffordshire at any point, then you'll realise.
I'm definitely putting that in the intro. I'm definitely putting that on the Instagram account. I want to see the response to this.
Well, it's not. You can't argue with it because it's true. So, yeah, Wright's pies are just the best in the world.
Right. Okay. For me, it's definitely not Milton Keynes, as they are shocking. And £5.50 as well. It's just outrageous.
£5.50 for a pie.
It's outrageous for a little pie that I wouldn't eat even if it was free. So it is just silly this year. I've obviously travelled around. You've seen on the Away Days account my pie reviews. I've had pies at Watford. Plymouth do a very nice one, but however, it is a pasty, so that is not counted for under this guideline. But it does come down to two, and I'm going to slide the rules slightly. I know we are an EFL podcast, but there's two non-league teams. One nice. Of them is Chesterfield. Well, this is obviously when they're in League Two. Chesterfield, they do a lovely steak pie there. But I think I'm going to give this winner to Notts County. Now, listen to me here. It's the overall pie that I had there. I had pie, chips, gravy for a fiver, and it was just different for me for some reason. It was unbelievable. So I will be giving it to them, and the pie was good as well. It was nice and warm. It wasn't a cold pie. You know, there's some grounds you go to, it's like not enough filling, or the filling's burnt, or you're missing half the pastry. It was, everything went right from there.
I think I might have to go and get a pie at Notts County.
We'll do a little away days. We can do that soon.
Yeah, because they might be in EFL next season.
Yeah. Well, we can sort out. We can spread our wings and go to our local team of Notts County. Right, I guess then there's only one final thing for us to do, and that is to move to the Championship. I know we're going to leave the best league in the world, but don't be upset, Luke, because there are some good scores in the Championship. So the first game we'll look at is Reading versus Sunderland. Again, this is sort of can be seen as a shock scoreline. It occurred on Wednesday night, obviously live on Sky as well. Two goals for Patrick Roberts, who's really started the season well, and Jack Clark scoring the end, probably what could be seen as one of the goals of the season. Sorry, I haven't said the score. Yeah. Sunderland won 3-0 over Reading, 2-0 up at half-time. Reading, who we've raved about, we both said Paul Ince should get manager of the month. Did he? No, and that's because we don't know what we're on about. But Reading is at 15th, and Sunderland have now moved up into 6th. So this was seen as a playoff battle. I'll talk you through the Jack Clark goal. Very well built up from the back. Keeper passing to centre-back, obviously passing to the right-back. Just really nice touches, and then a delightful ball across. Jack Clark, great touch, right round the defender and slots it in. You'll definitely need to go and watch that goal, because it is right up there if you love passing football. Right, Sunderland, obviously a League One team last year. Not many changes. One of the biggest changes for them up front has been them bringing in Ellis Sims, who did go off injured in this match. Obviously, new manager in Tony Mowbray. Do you think, you know, we're seeing what could be a double promotion? It's a big statement. I've said it.
Maybe not double promotion, but I think Sunderland have really surprised me this season. I think that they'll do really well. They've just got that intensity and their passing, which was shown on Thingy's goal, the third goal from Clark, was one of the best passing moves that's led to a goal that I've ever seen, really. I mean, it's all over Twitter, and rightly so. They were just so good. On the other hand, Reading, not really predictable this season. Obviously, I thought they'd go down. You thought they'd go down. They're fourth. However, in the games that they've lost, they've been absolutely battered. What do you think is happening there?
Well, yeah, so what I think's happened then, Reading a great team when they find themselves in front, they seem to really control it and sort of hold possession from there. The games that they've been battered in is this one 3-0, Sheffield United 4-0, Rotherham 4-0 as well. And really, I think this comes down to the fact that on paper, if we're looking at the team, it's not the strongest in the league. Obviously, you've seen players like Tom Ince there, for example. They've announced the signing of Andy Carroll as well. So these are sort of players which aren't, not your exciting players that you think our Premier League club's going to come sweeping in for. And I think that sort of has a bit of a factor to play in it. I think when they're in front, they control it well. But if they concede a goal, I just think their heads go down. Sorry, if they definitely concede two goals, I think their heads go down. So I think there's a bit of that in there. But then again, we can't take it away from them, even though they've lost a couple 3 and 4 nil goals, still being able to find themselves sat fourth is immense.
Yeah, I think Paul Ince came out after this match saying that their aim this season is to stay in the league. And I think that's the reality of it. I think they've had a very, very good start. But as soon as they ever face a team that are actually turn up, they get rolled over. Because I don't think Stoke turned up, Birmingham didn't turn up either. Who were the other wins against, actually? I'll just have a look now. See if I can remember any of them. Yeah, Rotherham turned up, battered them. Blackburn, obviously, that was one there. Run of three games that they lost. So I don't know. It's a tricky one, Reading. I think they've done well to get where they are. However, I think throughout the season, I think they'll slowly drop down the table.
Indeed. And on the reverse side of it, if we look at Sunderland, their bench is sort of looking a bit silly in my mind because you're seeing players like Amad Diallo come off or Metete, very good player from last year, Embleton as well. I could list all of them. So I think Sunderland have a really good squad. And I think, obviously Sims got injured, which is a bit upsetting, seeing as Stewart's out as well. But I just think the team that they've got, they could really push this year.
Yeah, I think they've definitely got a solid squad. I think obviously Diallo's got a high pedigree too. The only problem is now they have lost both of their key strikers, which could be a bit of a blow for them. I think the next matches are reasonably hard. Yeah, they've got Watford and Preston in the next two matches, so obviously definitely not walkovers. So they could struggle in their matches, and I wouldn't be surprised if they did because is Ellis Sims not Ellis Sims? Was he at Fleetwood last season?
No, you're thinking, I know you're thinking of another Sims. I know who you're thinking of.
Oh no, the Port Vale one. Yeah,
Right. Yeah.
I was gonna say yeah, the other Sims. Yeah, plays Port Vale. Sims and Roberts, obviously. Not Sims and Roberts. Sims and Stewart. Ross Stewart were both out, and Ross Stewart was immense last season in League One. So yeah, they've definitely been hit with a massive blow with them two being injured. I don't know what Sims's injuries are like, do you?
No, I'm afraid I don't, but let's just hope it's a short one because he is a very good player. Right, let's move on. We had one comment of I know, calm down. We've had one comment on our standout results in for this midweek's championship, and it's from Tom Williams saying, "What about Stoke winning 3-0?" So let's give him what he wants. Let's talk about Stoke winning 3-0. I guess you can say, keeping on theme of new bosses, Alex Neil coming into Stoke, obviously, from Sunderland. Stoke won 3-0 against Hull. Lewis Baker, outstanding player, made captain of Stoke now, obviously signing, well, we're setting him free from Chelsea. Two goals. First goal, little cheeky free kick. He had a free kick just before, which got deflected by the wall, but caused the keeper problems. And then almost an identical free kick season, put it into the far right corner. And then his second goal, actually, no, sorry, there was a goal by Wilmot, the centre back, as well. But then Lewis Baker's second goal, which was the third of the game, very well taken outside the box, curling effort into the bottom right corner. Hull, though, it's sort of a surprise that they didn't score with Estupiñán at the top of the table, starting up front, who's had such a great start. Stoke climb up to 12th and Hull drop to 15th. Do you think Estupiñán's, such a start, like an amazing start, is going to sort of tail off now? Or do you think he's got a bit of Mitro in him and he's going to hold on to it?
I think we're going to mention Tom Williams a lot for this game. He, when we put up our leading goal scorers, he said that Estupiñán might hit 15, 20 goals, but I think he said he'll drop off. And it's, I think he's been proved right at the moment. So I don't know what's happened with him. I think he's obviously got the pedigree to kick on and start scoring goals again, but his lack of goals has coincided with Hull losing games.
Yes, I agree. It's important to know that, Stoke could have had a few more goals. Smallbone on loan from Southampton. He had a fantastic chance that he missed. But, Alex Neil coming into Stoke, I think you're seeing a great manager going into a team that's got a lot of potential, especially when some of their injured, well, all of their injured players are back. Like I've already mentioned, Lewis Baker, but seeing players such as Josh Tymon, Liam Delap, a lot of good youth in there, Smallbone as well, sorry, a lot of good youth. But then they've also got quite a good bit of experience. Aidan Flint, obviously played in League One, he was at Bristol City then, and he's been around Bristol City, Cardiff, found his way at Stoke. And then also Gale up top, who we have talked about in previous episodes, still not really doing anything. So I think we'll just ignore him for today. But do you think they've got, a squad that could just, get over the line and get themselves into the playoffs?
Well, they should have a top six squad on paper anyway, because I think it was last season they broke the championship record for wages, which is why they got put on under financial fair play last season, I think it was. So they've obviously got a really good squad, really talented squad. So they should get up the table. Definitely think they could get top six if they wanted to. And I think they probably should be one of the favourites too, even though they've had a really slow start. I definitely think that there is teams in the top six at the moment that won't be in the top six at the end of the season. So I think Stoke could definitely take advantage of that.
And would you say Alex Neil has become that sort of missing piece in this puzzle that they've built themselves?
Yeah, like I said last week, Alex Neil's a winner, and he'll only accept wins with this Stoke City team. So I would expect them to do quite well under him.
Okay, I think we will now leave this game here. And let's move on to another championship game which occurred, and we'll go to Blackburn versus Watford. This is again very much of a playoff sort of battle. Blackburn at the start of the game were outside the playoffs and Watford obviously in there. Blackburn won this game 2-0. Goals coming from Hedges and Higham. Tyree Stonen also getting assists on there, good young player. But Blackburn winning 2-0 has seen them push themselves up the table into the playoffs. Do you think we last week we sort of spoke about Blackburn and we said we didn't think they had one of the best, the best teams in the league because obviously losing a few players like Joe Rothwell, for example. We were interested to see where how well Berrettin Diaz could do, and obviously Gallagher being injured, sort of missing that sort of experience up top. Do you think we were correct, or is this just how Rovers are going to sort of act this year, moving in and out?
Yeah, I think they'll be unpredictable. I don't think they'll be, forgot the word for it. What's it called? I don't think they'll be consistent in this league. I don't think they ever are consistent, which was a problem for Mowbray. But yeah, I think I do rate John Dal Thomason. I think he's a pretty good manager. and they've come up against a Watford team who I think we mentioned this a few weeks ago, but they were winning matches without playing well, and they're now losing matches without playing well. So that could be a big problem for them. And Rob Edwards at the moment probably treading on thin ice, I would have thought, especially being at Watford.
Yeah, definitely. And we're looking at that Watford team. They're starting João Pedro's in there. You've got Choudhury, you've got Emile Sarr. So and then obviously players such as Cathcart as well, well-known championship players. But what would you say is, if you could, I know you're not a Watford fan, but what would you say seems to be the main reason for this sort of, because we all sort of predicted them to be up there with Norwich in the automatics. What would you say the main reason is sort of to be?
I just don't think they're great going forwards. I know they've got great forwards, but I don't think that midfield is on the par. I would Choudhury's awful in well has been awful in the last few games. Semmer has been awful in the last few games, and João Pedro, he's been awful in the last few games. They've just been underperforming all season. And yeah, I think at the end of last season, it came out that they had a really rotten dressing room. And I won't be surprised if that hasn't been fixed, judging by how they're performing at the moment.
Yeah, it's a team you sort of keep it. I want to say Watford, they'll turn this around, but obviously losing to MK Dons, we've seen how well they're struggling in the cup. Losing to playoff rivals such as Blackburn, they are sat seventh, so it's not the end of the world at the moment. But they will definitely need to be a big change and get themselves back in the playoffs because, as you said, they've been winning the games they've been winning. They've been playing bad. And the games have lost, they're playing bad. So I think the team will keep an eye on. We'll leave that game there then, and we will move on now to a West Midlands derby. Two teams located around Birmingham, and that is West Brom versus Birmingham, obviously. This game went the way of Birmingham 3-2. Hogan getting a hat trick. West Brom got themselves 2-1 through Jed Wallace. And I'm going to say this because I love him. Brandon Thomas-Asante scored another goal for them. That's his second goal now. I understand it was a penalty, though. So, but well done for getting on the score sheet. Birmingham are sat 14th and West Brom, the 20th. And we spoke a little bit about them when we said they couldn't score goals. And then the week after, they basically shut us up. But this is another team, sat in there with Middlesbrough, who we would sort of expect to be higher up the league. Would you not agree?
Yeah, I think Steve Bruce is again walking on thin ice. I think this West Brom team, although I think they've had the XG to win most of their games, especially this one, and I think the last five games have had amazing XG compared to what they've actually produced. But they're all treading on thin ice at the moment because they should be in that top six race. But at the moment, they're in the relegation zone, aren't they? So yeah, it's not great. It's not great. For West Brom at the moment, and let's hope for Steve Bruce's sake in the next few games that they can perform their XG rather than underperform it.
Yes, definitely. So I think we saw in this game a team that's sort of underachieving in West Brom. And then Birmingham, I would say they're sort of being, as to be expected, sat 14th. I don't want to be rude, but that's where I think they would be. Pick up 11 points. We've got minus two goal difference. But Hogan getting a hat trick. We all love a good hat trick. And when a player scores them, obviously partnering up top with Troy Deeney, Tabitha Chong as well played, but he played in sort of a midfield role, if I'm correct, which is a bit of a. I've always seen him as a winger. How do you think Birmingham have started this season? Because we haven't really spoken about them a lot in our podcast.
Well, I think, do we both predict them to go down? I think I did.
Yeah, I was sort of around there.
But I think, yeah, they've done all right so far. I think they've done better than I expected, and they've recruited better than I've expected too. I think Tahith Chong is massive for them. I think Hannibal might prove, especially towards the end of the season when he's progressed a bit, footballing wise, he might prove a really good signing. And yeah, I think I'll be feeling a bit positive being Birmingham, a City fan at the moment. You've got Jude Bellingham, who, if he's anything like his brother, he'll be really good. So yeah, they've done pretty well. I wouldn't be complaining if I was a Birmingham City fan at the moment. I know they went through a period of being awful prior to that Preston North End game. They lost, well, didn't win in four. So there will be a bit of negativity. But on the whole, I think Birmingham City fans might have thought they might get relegated this season. So to bring in some of these players that they have done and are winning now, winning games, I think their outlook will be a little bit more positive.
Definitely so. Right, and then one final game we'll look at. Norwich City 3, Bristol City 2. Goals coming from Pukki, managed to get himself a brace, and Josh Sargent again on the score sheet. And then Bristol City goals from Conway and Semenyo. Norwich now find themselves sat second after what seemed to be such a devastating start. They're up there, and Pukki coming back from injury has put themselves up there. This sort of loss sees them lose their playoff. Bristol City lose their playoff place to Sunderland, but they're still 17th, which is definitely not where I expect them to be. If we start with Bristol City, this has been a great start to the season for them. Would you not agree?
Yeah, I think they really proved in this match that they are playoff contenders because attacking wise, they were great. I think even defensively in this match, they were pretty good. But obviously, Norwich are cut above most teams in this league. But I think if you're a Bristol City fan, you'd be very pleased with the start of the season because I know they didn't have the perfect first three games of the season. I think they only picked up like 1 or 2 points out of the first three games, but ever since then, they've been absolutely flying. And yeah, they've probably got one of the best attacks in the league. You've got Wyman, Nkosi Wells, Conway, and Semenyo. Yeah. And they've just started the season really well. So I'd be really pleased if I was a Bristol City fan and wouldn't be too put off by this Norwich defeat because Norwich will be up there by the end of the season.
Yeah, exactly as you said there. They've had a fantastic start, and a game like Norwich is a real test. And to put two away against them, this Norwich team has got Premier League players in it. Well, we say that they seem to perform better in the Championship than the Premier League. But I think Bristol City, if they keep this up, there's no reason why they can't be there at the end of the season. If we focus on Norwich quickly, second in the league, massive turnaround. How good is it to see Pukki scoring goals in the Championship again?
Oh, it is great. I think Pukki, he gets a lot of hate for not being able to cut it in the Premier League, but in the Premier League, he's playing with Championship standard players, so you can't really expect him to do that well. But yeah, I think in the Championship, he comes into a game of his own, really, because he probably is the best striker in the league, and I think he'll probably be high up in the Golden Boot table at the end of the season because he just is immense for Norwich.
Yeah, he's definitely climbing up there. If we do look at the top scorers table, you've seen Tommy Conway of Bristol City, obviously, we've just mentioned with 5 goals. But one player we should really highlight and how well he started is Josh Sargent. He's got 6 goals now. He's 1 goal off Oscar Estepinian. Could probably overtake him next game because he is scoring for fun, it seems. How well do you think he started the season? Because we sort of saw him struggle in the Premier League last year. So do you think getting relegated has been a blessing in disguise for him?
Yeah, I think he's probably the best ginger in the EFL at the moment. I think he's great. He definitely didn't do great last season. I think he scored a scorpion kick last season, actually. But yeah, he's done a lot better than I thought he would this season. The only real people I see catching them up is obviously Ben Brereton Diaz. If he gets in, well, that mood. I think Chris Willock is also an immense talent. And also, again, one of our favourite boys, Colton Morris. He's just been insane for Luton at the start of this season, and I won't be surprised if he carried that on.
Yeah, he's outstanding. I will be doing an Instagram post soon to just reflect on players scoring for fun. Right, I think we'll leave our analysis skills there, put our I think we've done well today. Do you want to just quickly run us through the final other scores?
Yeah, so these matches were last Tuesday and Wednesday. So it was Luton Town 2, Coventry City 2, Millwall 0, QPR 2, Norwich 3, Bristol 2, Rotherham 3, Blackpool 0, Reading 0, Sunderland 3, West Brom 2, Birmingham City 3, Blackburn 2, Watford 0, Huddersfield Town 1, Wigan Athletic 2, Huddersfield Town 0, Stoke 3, Middlesbrough 2, Cardiff City 3, Swansea City 0, Sheffield United 1, and Preston North End 1, Burnley 1.
Lovely stuff. And to end the show, we'll do my quick fire scores.
Yep, so round 10 in the championship. Here we go. Are you ready?
Yep, I'm ready. Let's go.
Okay. Swansea City, Hull City.
I hate to say this, but I'm going to say 1-0 Swansea.
Birmingham, Coventry.
That's Birmingham. That's another local derby for Birmingham. 1 all.
Burnley, Bristol.
Oh, that's a tough game, actually. I'm going to say 2 all.
Huddersfield Town, Cardiff.
Oh, we haven't mentioned Huddersfield manager's been sacked. But
Oh,
anyway, we'll talk about it another time. Not the time now. Cardiff 1 nil.
Luton, Blackburn.
2-1 Blackburn.
Millwall, Blackpool.
0-0.
Norwich, West Brom.
3-0 Norwich.
Preston, Sheffield.
2-0 Sheffield.
QPR, Stoke.
2-1 QPR.
Watford, Sunderland.
2-0 Sunderland.
Wigan, Reading.
2-1 Reading.
And Middlesbrough, Rotherham.
1-0 Rotherham.
Nice. And I think all them games are on Saturday. I don't know if there's any Sunday or Monday games.
No,
So.
I don't believe there is any either, which is quite nice for us because we normally slip up there. Right, so that sort of brings us to the end. Next week, we will hopefully be able to do this, record this together, I'm hoping. So it may be a lot better or it may be worse. We'll only find out then. But it's been a pleasure. Luke, anything you would like
As
to add?
always, not really. I'm excited for my away day, which will be on away days, URN, and our EFL at URN Instagram joint thing. So that'll be fun. Hope for a win. Now, what about you?
Yeah, as I said, I was actually planning on going to Oxford this weekend, but I am not paying the money to watch MK Dons play there. That's how poorly they did the other night. So I will be listening on the radio and watching the other games on Sky. So all the action will be from Luke this weekend, and there will be a lot more away days in the future as well because we're really enjoying actually looking at other clubs. But yeah. We'll leave it there for now. Thank you for listening to this episode, and you'll hear from us next week.